Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the 4th of February today, and the sky is overcast. Again. This is part of the plan, as we all know. I'm just looking to see if the road is damp. It looks as if it is a bit damp, but it's drying, so not a lot of rain, fortunately. But it is cold. And we're going to light the fire. Julia hasn't got to rush off today, so that will be handy. But we need a little bit of kindling. Just thinking where that might be, because I'll have to go and saw some bits up. And also, might have to smash up some logs into smaller bits of logs, so that it will catch. And I'm running out of kindling. We have a friend called Neil who pops around occasionally, and he brings with him little bags of kindling, which is very kind. Just open the locks on the back door and switch on the internet whilst I'm thinking about it. Just want to double check in here there's not a little bit of kindling loitering. Wait a minute, there might be a little bit in here. There might be enough in there and a few bits. I will find for you, my love. I came in here to do the internet as well. And I need to put... Yes, Anita. I need to put these two bags together, one in top of the other, because I put ash in them. Because we've run the other. What we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is we're keeping ash. It's kind of a bit pointless at the moment till we've got the land, really, but we've got several bags of ash. Now, if anybody needs any ash for their garden, do let me know, because you can come and take one of these bags away. But we thought it was a sensible thing at the time.
I still think it is.
It fills up the bins, you see, if you put them straight in the bin. And where else? I haven't got a garden to put the ash into.
When we move, it'll be a great thing to stick in the compost seed that we begin straight away.
Exactly. So, that's what we've got. So, let's just get rid of these. So bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. There's only a couple of bits, but... I will go and chop up a couple of bit more.
Once you get the fireplace ready.
Yes. Thanks. Bear with me. We're trying to do two things at once. And you get the privilege of hearing us faffing about. There we go. That's for the ash. So he brings around two quite sturdy bin liners. I don't know where he gets his from, but they're a bit more sturdy than mine. So I put one inside the other because ash has a tendency to, you know, the bin bags do have a tendency to leak. The bin men came today. So we've got bins to put back. Hopefully I put the right bin out. So the garden is looking better because I managed now to to put up all the logs. So that was nice. Right, I've just got to do a bit more sawing. Some days you get me shaving, other days you get me sawing. Not sawing high in the sky or anything like that. I'm just going to place you on there. Whilst I quickly do a couple of cuts on this. This, I think, is... my dad's old saw, which is very, very good. Must have found it in his shed. It's got a little splodge of paint, which tells me it's not one of mine. Mine would have been bought from a local shop. This feels much older, but actually very good. Right, these two tiny little bits of wood, I'm just going to split in half so that Julia can use them to light the fire with. And somebody's car whistler was going. Sorry, I'll just move you over here. No, over here. It's going to fall, isn't it? And when I say you, of course I'm talking about the microphone. And finally, there we go. Here we go.
Some more little bits for you.
I probably need to chop some other logs just in half. These dry. Yeah, that might do it. Chop that in half and keep that one. Just to get some smaller bits, you see. Oh, it's a rigmarole, isn't it? But we love it. Genuinely love it. Why is that? There we go. Oh, sorry about the wind. Hang on. I'm just bunging you over here. There we go. Right. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that cold, but it's cold in the house. It's just, it's that sort of... Oh, shove it in that one. That's the ash going into the new bags that I've done. I'll take that outside. Swap you with these for the fireside.
Lovely.
There you go. And then the ash bag, the new ash bag, can go outside. Quite where to put it. And that mixed up, from what I understand, that mixed up with earth and soil and compost is supposed to be very good. Anyway, let's go and have a look at old Kilvert. So yesterday, I mean, it was just another day working on the book. Didn't do very much. Julia went down to her parents because they're off away for a week to see some relations or friends. And I worked on the book. I did a little bit of drawing, did some reading. Somebody sent me a book, which I'm trying to read at the same time, so I can talk about that. Well, in fact, two people, and I think I mentioned those books, and did the videos and what have you. So it was a sort of fairly quiet, simple day. So not much to report there, really, I'm sorry to say. However, in order to bring you something of some merit and reason to listen, let's find out what old... I can find the book. It's been...
You lost it again?
No, it's a different one this time.
Oh.
Where's his little face? It peers up at me all the time.
So it's not I never knew that about England?
No. It's the...
diary?
Yes.
Is it underneath the bolster pod here?
No. No, I see his face because I've left the book out. The bearded bloke.
See it in my eye.
I know, that's the trouble. I want it in my eye. Oh, there he is. Did a bit of man looking, as they say.
It's 2 days in a row.
Yeah, sorry about that. Julia's very good at finding the things.
I'm just female.
Right, where are we?
Just female.
Fourth. So this is, I've got an actual entry for the fourth. God, blimey, there we go. 1871, Kilvert. Said on Saturday, the 4th of February, then, I hear that last night there were 60 people standing outside the school during the whole time of the readings. Oh, do you remember we'd read a bit and he said the place that he went to was full of people and there were 60 people outside, apparently. They were clinging and clustering around the windows like bees, standing on chairs, looking through the windows and listening, their faces tier upon tier, some of them tried to get through the windows when the windows were open for more air. And that was his entry, which was a bit dull and boring. I'm not quite sure. So we don't have that problem. When we're reading to one another, we find that nobody is at the window trying to hear what's going on. There's a good one there for the 7th, but the 7th is not... I'm just looking to see if there's another entry for the 4th of February. Sometimes they have quite very long ones in here. And so I'm looking to get onto a juicy one. March 26th of Feb. Oh, yeah. Doesn't look... I think we might be out of luck here. 11th of Feb. Tuesday the 8th of Feb. 1870 would have been my son's birthday.
1870?
1870, yes. He's quite old, my son.
100 years prior.
Mm. I'll read it anyway, because it's Tuesday the 8th. I mean, I won't... Well, I suppose I should wait till Tuesday the 8th, shouldn't I, to read it?
Really, yeah.
Yeah. So that's that, then.
Aww.
No, well, there you go. I'll do... how are we doing on the time front? We don't have to make these very particularly long or anything. I just wonder whether there's any merit to any of this. After a while, I start to think, is there any merit to this? I've got nothing terribly exciting to say. This is Essex. I'm opening up the... I never knew that about England again. And St. Botolph's Church in Essex, it says here, overlooking the thatched North Essex village of Hadstock, has the oldest door in England. Old Mark English would be interested in that, then.
It's probably been there.
It's possible that this church is the minster built by King Canute to celebrate his victory over Edmund. Edmund Ironside, that is. Now, not Ironside from the 1970s detective series, Ironside, which, of course, had Perry Mason in it, I think.
Not from the Vikings Netflix series, Bjorn Ironside.
I don't think so either, no.
Sure.
Anyway, Edmund Ironside at... Assenden in 1016. The door dates from that time, making it not far short of 1,000 years old. It is the only known Saxon door in England still in use. Well, over 1,000 years if it was 1016, because we're now 2025. A plain, inoffensive-looking bungalow... Oh, is this another... This might be another thing. A plain, inoffensive-looking bungalow in Essex, countryside of Ongar, hides a dark and sinister secret from the past. The bungalow at Kelvedon Hatch is, in fact, the government's top-secret Cold War nuclear bunker. Burrowing into the hillside, behind rather like a hobbit hole, is a labyrinth of secret passages and rooms where the Prime Minister and his staff would have tried to run whatever was left of a post-nuclear Britain. Stretching 75 feet underground and encased in reinforced concrete, 10 feet thick, the whole complex was constructed without any of the locals knowing what was going on. The government must feel safer today as the public is open to the public. Sorry, the bunker is open to the public. So, okay, so there you are in the 1960s, during the Cold War or whatever, 70s, that time, and... The government had made this secret bunker so that they could go and be in safety. And nobody knew about it. That was then. Now the government seems to be far more corrupt and dodgy. What are they doing today that we don't know about in massive numbers? Hmm? I mean, it makes you think.
Makes me laugh to think that there are people who think that the government is wholly beneficial and benevolent and, you know, there for us when evidently... It's quite clearly not the case, is it?
No, they don't work for us at all.
No.
And anybody who thinks they do has really got a brain cell missing. After all, and this is going to be the theme of my monologue today, is 5 years ago, the government were telling us of a terrible pandemic that was coming, a virus, which has not actually been isolated, and nobody can tell you where it is or what it looks like. And people who were given a flu jab... In November 19, they all suffered, and they pretended that that was the COVID problem in 2020. And then, to compound it, they, with the WHO and all the other McNasties in the world, came up out with this pre-made deadly vaccine, they call it, this poison, this toxin, which they injected pretty much everybody in the world with. Not everybody, of course, some of us saw through that or felt it was not right. And we've seen millions of people die in adverse effects. The question is, when they do the next one, which is bound to be on its way any day soon, because they haven't killed enough of the world population, even though they're trying in every bloody fashion that you can imagine, with EMFs and fluoride and spraying of the skies, which I know there's a lot of people who have cognitive dissonance and cannot conceive, and would think I'm some
ranting, raving lunatic.
Exactly. But the evidence is coming out, and you only have to look. The question I want to ask in the video next is, would you take another dollop of toxins? Will you line up? And if it's aimed at children, not so much the vaccine, but, well, it might be aimed at children, but if the disease is aimed at children, and you see children with blood coming out their ears and various things because they've released something to make it look like the children have got something terrible, wouldn't you? Who would not take a mandated vaccine or toxin poison to save the children? We did it to save the grannies last time, if you remember. And what good did that do when they managed to sort of shuffle them all off? Now it will be, you're protecting the children. You must have this jab. And you have to acquiesce, of course, to their lies. Well, it's fraud and it's a disaster. So when it comes, if it comes, hopefully we will be rid of these parasites before then. But if it does come and they decide to lock us down and give the illusion more theatre, what will you do? Will you take it as a matter of course? Will you still believe that the government are on your side, despite the boxes being opened some 30 years hence and reading what terrible things the government did, and still believe that the government is a noble and wonderful thing? Clearly, they are murdering bastards and have been doing that for donkey's years.
Yeah, if you're dating someone, you find out that he's a narcissistic, murdering, serial killer, essentially, you wouldn't keep dating him, would you?
No.
You'd be like, I'm lucky to have survived so far, I'm out.
And you certainly wouldn't take him into a supermarket near the breakfast aisle if he's a serial killer.
Poor cereals, they're all going to die.
Yes. Let the cornflake live.
They're not good for us.
Exactly. Don't eat them. Anyway, that's it. That's a little bit of spouting done and dusted. I felt like I got something out there then.
It was a nice big spot. You know,
squeezed, yes. The pus has gone out for everybody to enjoy. So look after yourself. Thank you so much for watching, listening. And if you, whatever you were watching.
You might be watching the speaker as
yes. Yes, isn't it funny? People used to sit round the radio and look at the speaker as if it was actually animated. And the warmth of the old wireless light lighting up the dial. Anyway, there you go. Talk to you soon. Toodle pip. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.